Welcome to episode 27 of the Bunt of the Gap podcast. My name's Adam. I'm here with Dave in the Bunt Cave.
Hello.
And our producer, Sweet Nick, on the line. How's it going, Nick?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Well, just wanted to start this episode off on a down note. We're sad to share news that our friend Tim Lala of Biking for Baseball, who spoke to us in episode 14,
yep,
is in the hospital in Alabama after being struck by a truck. Suspect it was a distracted driver. So Tim won't be able to finish his ride this summer, and according to a recent Facebook post, Tim suffered several spine fractures, lacerations, and a fracture to his face, and lost a bunch of teeth, but he's in good spirits.
Well, he has a burst fracture in his lower back, a broken neck, and he's missing a bunch of teeth now.
Yeah, so Biking for Baseball is waiting to put out a formal statement until a police report has been filed. Tim, hang in there, buddy. We're pulling for you. Even though Tim can't finish his ride this summer, we'd still encourage all of our listeners to go to bikingforbaseball.org and make a donation if you can. And don't forget to select which MLB team you support.
Yeah, so obviously this means that Tim's ride is done. He will not reach his fundraising goal throughout the ride. So guys, if you're waiting to donate to Biking for Baseball, now's a great time to help Tim out. And just select the Toronto Blue Jays when you're checking out, and the donations will be tracked for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
Okay, guys. Episode 27 is brought to you by the total number of home runs hit by Justin Smoke this year.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, don't worry. That was totally made up. However, it seems like Justin Smoke has hit 27 home runs this year. Justin Smoke has 19 home runs this year. A 45 RBI, an OPS plus of 141, an OPS of 937. Guys, Justin Smoke has just proven us all wrong. I believe it's time for the official Bunt to the Gap Eating Crow segment about Justin Smoke.
I'm going to wait until after the All-Star.
You think he's going to make the All-Star team?
No, I'm going to wait until after the All-Star break.
Nick, do you think he's going to make the All-Star team?
Honestly, if every Toronto Blue Jays fan and the country of Canada decides we want to vote in Justin Smoke like we did with, blanking on his name here, left fielder
Michael Saunders,
like we did with Michael Saunders, Justin Smoke could definitely make the All-Star team. I mean, he's having a really good season. Maybe he deserves to make the All-Star team. I'll vote for him.
Well, I don't want to eat crow until after the end of the season. Because people have really good first halves, or really bad first halves, you know? You know, it's a full season, so let's wait.
Yeah, I mean,
But good for you so far, Justin.
I'm ready to acknowledge the fact that we might have been wrong. Like,
we're wrong. We've been wrong so far. Been wrong on a lot of things, but this is one of the better ones.
This is one of the better ones to be wrong about, right?
Yeah.
I would say Justin Smoke has, so let's see, his strikeout percent is down by like 20 points almost. Basically that's been it. Like, he's not striking out as much. And he's doing better in counts with two strikes and is hitting a ton of home runs. So Justin Smoke has somehow become the Edwin Encarnacion that we lost. It's like we didn't lose Edwin Encarnacion at all, and then we added Kendrys Morales.
Yeah.
That's what it's been.
Yeah.
So we're recording this on Sunday, June 18th. The Blue Jays have dropped 2 games to the Chicago White Sox already. The team has been outscored in those games.
Which, you know, today may be very well be Grilly's final day on the roster.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he made it this far. They didn't have to get rid of the aprons at all.
Well, it's because they had the aprons that he's probably stuck around.
Yeah, so the Blue Jays have been outscored 16-6 in those 2 games by the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox, guys. The Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, the team that was supposed to be rebuilding, the one that sold Chris Sale.
Yeah, so the team's obviously hit a bit of a funk right now. I expect them to snap out of it. The good news is that I believe they are now tied with Baltimore, so they are no longer last in the AL East, which is a good sign. And that means that somehow the Blue Jays have pulled themselves out of the basement. Okay, so they are a game behind the Orioles in the AL East.
However, Fangraphs is still optimistic about the Blue Jays playoff odds. So right now, the Yankees have a 78.3% chance of making the playoffs, Red Sox 87.3%, and the Blue Jays 33%, the Rays at 20%, and the Orioles at 9%.
Yes, that's good. That's positive, obviously.
It is positive.
And it's surely better than it was probably about a month ago.
And the Jays are still only 6.5 back of the division. Like, this is not far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Other news around the league. Nick, a few weeks ago, when Dave didn't have internet, you and I were talking about how good Paul Goldschmidt is and has been this year. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out that he's been particularly good in the area of stolen bases.
Yes.
So probably because of your comments, Ben Lindbergh of The Ringer wrote an article posted on June 16th called "The Best Base Runners in Baseball, How the Diamondbacks' Approach on the Bases Has Helped Them Emerge as a Surprise Contender in the NL West and Position Them for Potentially Historic Excellence." So some of the article's major talking points are that the D-backs are only fifth in the league in steals and third in net steals, which is steals minus caught stealing. But they're doing other things on the bases that don't actually show up on the score sheet. And one example is taking big leads in certain situations that forces the defense to change its positioning, which has resulted in base hits. So back to Goldie. As of today, Sunday morning, he's put up 5.6 base running runs above average so far this season, according to FanGraphs. And that stat is the number of runs above or below average that a player has been worth on the bases based on stolen bases, caught stealing, extra bases taken, outs on the bases, and avoiding double plays. So he is 5.6 base running runs above average compared to the rest of the league. And what's significant about that is that through his 2017 69 games, his 5.6 runs, last year he actually put up 5.4 through 158 games.
So he's having a better season on the base paths.
He is 138% better than last year. And as Ben Lindbergh pointed out in his article, only Bailey Hamilton and Xander Bogaerts are better in terms of base running runs above average. And they're both at 6.6 so far this season, which may not be entirely unexpected for those two guys. And Jerron Dyson and D. Gordon are currently both right there with Goldie at 5.5 each.
Yeah, but I don't think any of those guys are a threat for 30 home runs also.
But that's the other side of Goldschmidt's, you know, value? Potential, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just gotten that much better in that one area this year. Yeah, so anyway, just wanted to mention that when then Sweet Nick says something, the baseball community listens.
Well, I think maybe what's most impressive is that Nick figured all that out without doing the extensive research that Ben Lindbergh did.
That Ben did?
Yeah. Nick was just like, you know, he's been really good this year. Paul Goldschmidt. And then like Ben Lindbergh had to go in and like do a master's thesis on why.
Yeah, well, someone has to do the legwork here.
Yeah, exactly.
He pulled up video and it was really good actually, but
yeah. I got the ball rolling for him. So
very, yeah. Very insightful, Nick.
What's the link to the article for anyone who's interested?
The link is go to theringer.com.
Okay.
Yeah, well done. We can post that in the show notes.
Okay, so we will take a break and be back on the Butts the Gap podcast. Okay, welcome back to the Much of the Gap podcast. We are going to do a new segment this week called Big Deal or Nah. And in it, I will ask Adam and Nick about a situation with the Toronto Blue Jays and ask them if it is a big deal or nah. You may have heard something similar on a sports shouting show on cable TV, on ESPN. I assure you, it is legally distinct from that. So, guys, Devin Travis out for probably 3 months on the low side with knee surgery. Is this a big deal or nah?
I'm going to say nah.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. It's
why not?
Because we've done it before without Devin Travis. As much as it pains me to say, and Devin Travis is a good player, and the Blue Jays are better when he's on the field. But of all the positions that we can, I guess, afford to lose our top of the depth chart guy, I think it is second base because we've done it without Devin Travis last year, and I think the replacement players will be fine.
Okay, I will take the opposite side of this, not just for entertainment's sake, but. The last time that Devin Travis was out for a short while, we had Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins, who were both actually hitting surprisingly well. and now they're both not. So Darwin Barney has, over his career, averaged a slash of 247, 295, 340. And he was hitting somewhere up in the 300s, like averaging somewhere like what, 303 or something, the last time that Travis was injured, a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's down to 221, 258, 279. His weighted runs created plus is 40. And as you know, 100 is league average.
Sure.
His base running runs above average is a minus. His offensive is a minus 10. Offensive runs above average. His defensive runs above average is 0.8, so it's barely league average.
Yep. So we're getting 3 months of Darwin Barney or potentially Ryan Goins.
Yeah. And Ryan Goins is doing no better. He's slashing 209, 267, 331. Slightly better weighted runs created plus at 57. Negative 8 runs above average on offense. Negative 2.5 runs above average on defense. And they're both at a negative 0.5 wins above replacement. So they're not even really barely replacement level.
Yeah, so the three-month timetable could potentially put Devin Travis out until end of August, September at best. And that's the low side of the recovery time. So let me read you three numbers. And that is 62, 101, and 50. And those are the total number of games played each year by Devin Travis with the Blue Jays. So that was 62 in 2015, 101 in 2016, and 50 so far in 2017. So that means Devin Travis is off the field quite a bit and potentially another year where injuries are the biggest storyline for Devin Travis. Like, he has now become the injury-prone guy that everyone hoped he was not, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Which sucks, right? Because he's a great player when he's on the field. However, this could be one of those guys that is the caveat throughout his entire career. He was great when he was on the field.
But you can't be healthy.
But can't stay healthy. And it's unfortunate, right? Because I think if the Blue Jays, I don't know if this can be a long-term second baseman for the Blue Jays, because you can only rely on him for, you know, a quarter or half or, you know, tops two-thirds of the season. And they may have to start looking at different options long-term at second base because Devin Travis can only be there basically 60% of the time.
Well, that being said, though, even in the few games that he's played for the Blue Jays, we'll call them few, he's been far more valuable than Anthony Gose ever was in that same period.
Oh, sure.
Like,
oh, a great trade for now. However,
and I think he still probably will be more valuable than Anthony Gose, even as a pitcher.
Yeah, whatever. I was going to say, unless he turns into some amazing reliever that no one saw coming.
I have a news flash for you. He probably won't.
Nick says, nah. Adam says, big deal. And I say, big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Second one for you guys. Marco Estrada's ERA in the month of June has been 12.08. Big deal or nah? So let me give you some context. The month of June is not over, so Marco Estrada still has the chance to lower that ERA in a few more starts. However, he has not had a month with a higher ERA in his career. So the closest he's come was also in June with the Milwaukee Brewers. He had, pitched four innings and an ERA of 11.25. And back in September, October with the Washington Nationals in 2008, in the first year of his career, had an ERA of 10.8 in 6.2 innings pitched. So this is clearly one of the worst stretches of Marco Estrada's career. Guys, is this a big deal or nah?
Yeah, and so what I kind of noticed was he started the season with kind of an unrealistically high, for him anyway, ground ball rate. So the first few games, let me read you his ground ball rate for the month of April. It was 44%, 53%, 31%, 28%, 42%. And then getting into May, all of a sudden, it really starts to drop. So the last game that he had a ground ball rate over 40 was May 6th. And after that, it's been below 40 easily. It's been 28, 35, 25, 35, 31, 20, and then just recently 38. So he's always been sort of a fly ball pitcher, but somehow he started off the year really getting ground balls more than he has been, I guess. So that could be one of the reasons why he hasn't been doing as well.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts?
I'll say nah, but not for the reasons one might think. It's not a big deal because this is the pitcher Marco Estrada is. Like, we knew this when we got him what I guess would be going on 3 years ago now, he gives up fly balls and you risk the home run in a park like the Rogers Center. Since May, he has given up a home run, at least a home run, in all but two starts. He's given up two home runs in three of those starts.
Yeah.
You know, it's not ideal for a park like the Rogers Center. And Mark Schott, he's done really well here with the spin rate. He's made people miss on the changeup, and it's been great. But we all kind of knew he was playing with fire. And I think this is just the downside of what Marco Estrada can be.
Yeah, I'm inclined to say nah as well. You know, he's had a BABIP of 533 in the month of June this year. Quite clearly way higher than his average. A FIP of 5.74, so that's even lower than his ERA of 12. Still not great, but, you know, indicates that he should be doing a little bit better than he is. He's just gotten unlucky. Some of the concerning things is just the home runs per nine is up to 2.8, which is the highest that it's been in a very long time. Not since 2014 has he posted a home runs per nine rate higher than that for a month. And his strikeout rate's staying the same. His walks are still down. So, you know, he's just getting hit a little harder than he should be right now. And I think that'll even out throughout the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And I think you make a good point with he's been unlucky. If you look at the last couple games where he's gotten blown up, so that would be June 1st against the Yankees and then June 13th against the Rays. His FIP in those games, fielding independent pitching, was 9.68. when his expected FIP was at 5.5 on June 1st against the Yankees. Same thing on the 13th, he put up a FIP of 9.74. The expected FIP was 4.6.
Yeah.
So.
And Marco Estrada has always been one of those guys that has overperformed his FIP because of he's a high contact, high fly ball guy.
Yeah.
And so there are times when the ball won't carry as far as it does, and there are times when it will. And this seems like it's just one of those stretches.
Okay, so verdict?
Verdict was nah for me.
Nick?
Nah.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Nah.
Okay. Earlier this week, Sportsnet Jonah Carey said, potentially Roberto Osuna is a consideration to be traded by the Toronto Blue Jays. He doesn't have any team sources in here. He just says he's under control by the team, and there are teams currently in a playoff race that would like a dependable reliever, potentially closer, to add to their roster. So guys, Roberto Osuna potentially on the trading block, big deal or nah?
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal, I think. First of all, Jonah, what are you doing? I mean, don't spread...
Right? All of a sudden, Jonah Carey has become like this hot take artist that's like, maybe this could happen. I don't know.
I mean, it's like when you hear those like, oh, so-and-so is interested in Mike Trout. Who isn't interested in a top closer? And Roberto Osuna is a top closer in this league.
Right, yeah, so he has no sources here. He's literally just putting this forward as a thought experiment.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'd be lovely. We all wish we could have Roberto Osuna, and Toronto Blue Jays do, and it would be a big deal if we gave him up. We all know the woes we've had with the bullpen. Roberto Osuna, you know, despite a bit of a struggle at the beginning of the year, has been great since then. And without Roberto Osuna, this bullpen doesn't have a ninth inning guy, doesn't have a sure inning out of most of our bullpen pitchers, it would be a big deal. It would be a huge deal.
I agree. I think this is just stupid.
So are you guys saying it's currently nah because it's not a big deal? Like there's no...
Oh, I don't think it's happening, but I think it'd be a big deal if it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Jays... Okay, yeah. The big deal would be the Jays trading away Osuna.
But current state, nah.
No, this is not... Even on the forefront of their...
Yeah, I agree. Like, it doesn't make sense to...
Without even getting into stats. Like, this is just stupid. Like, the Jays have Jason Grilley.
I love Jonah Carey, but this is just stupid, right?
Yeah.
And I get it.
That's
like,
clickbait. That's like, 100% clickbait.
You were looking at all the options that could be potentially interesting to this team. And we've talked about trading Kevin Pillar on this podcast. So, you know, I get the purpose of the thought experiment. But in terms of valuable pieces, Roberto Osuna is probably top three... Other than Josh Donaldson, and you know, maybe he's top two now that I think about it. Now, Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman. Okay, yeah. So like he's top five.
Yes,
in terms of like valuable pieces to the Toronto Blue Jays. Currently, this is nah, not a big deal. But you're right. If it becomes a possibility, then very big deal because it signals a whole lot of things for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
Okay, guys. JP Howell on the 10-day DL with left arm soreness. Big deal or nah?
I honestly don't even remember that guy half the time, so I don't care. It's not a big deal to me. It's a big deal to the Jays in that they don't have another bullpen arm. That isn't Jason Grilley.
Nick, big deal or not?
I actually have to look up J.P. Howell's baseball reference page.
He's the one with the beard.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's a big deal because, as I can see here, he throws left-handed. And Jays need all the left-handed arms they can get. So, yeah, that's a big deal. If his head throws right, yeah, not a big deal.
I'm going to say it's a big deal as well. You know, it's not like he's costing them a whole lot of money. It was a $3 million signing with the, you know, and they basically signed him with the expectation that it could either go horribly wrong, as it has, or it could go very well, as it has with Joe Smith, right? So there was a kind of a gamble that they took on J.P. Howell. And the fact that he's been so bad and all of a sudden they came up with this phantom DL stint, like, it's quite possible J.P. Howell has an actual shoulder injury. I believe that.
Maybe it is, though. Maybe he legitimately has an injury.
But maybe it honestly just sounds like this is a guy that they were going to DFA, and they just found a reason to keep him around because apparently he's great in the clubhouse and is great with the younger relievers.
Well, like, he's been underperforming his career averages in strikeouts per nine. His career average has been 8.24. He's thrown 5.19 this year. He's been exceeding, I mean in a bad way, his walks per nine. He put up 7.27 walks per nine innings this year compared to a career average of 3.94. His home runs per nine, which I thought was a good thing coming in, which was 0.85 before the season, is now 1.04 this season. His BABIP is at 355, far above his career average of 292. And probably still far above the league average of what? What is it, 300, 320 this year? Just BABIP?
BABIP tends to be around 290 to 300 average.
Anyway, maybe he's doing worse this year because he's injured. Mm. It could be a legitimate thing. Or he's got a phantom injury because he's just been so bad.
Okay, speaking of phantom injuries, Chris Coughlin to the 10-day DL with a left wrist contusion. Big deal or nah?
I'm going to say nah. Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. Mm. Yeah, because, and I will say this, Steve Pierce hasn't been great. Is he back?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. He had a home run, actually, on Friday.
Yeah. So, Nick?
Carrera's injured, too.
I'm going to say nah, just solely based on it's hard for me to get worked up with the left field these days. I mean, it's been an issue all season, and I'm just sort of becoming numb to it. And as long as we can put a warm body out there, I mean, it's not even on the top priority of me for things we need to address this season.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. It's a big deal for Chris Coughlin. It's not a big deal for the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm. You know, this is a move that shows that obviously they would have DFA'd him and had to expose him to waivers. And I guess the Blue Jays felt that somebody would have claimed him. But it also means that they kept Dwight Smith Jr. on the roster, along with Steve Pierce, who is activated. So Chris Coughlin has lost his playing time with the Toronto Blue Jays, but he's kind of like that side piece. He's the girl they're keeping warm on deck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't fully want to break up with him just yet.
That's terrible.
Right?
No, it's very apt.
But it's like you're putting that one on the back burner and just like letting that simmer a little bit because we might need you later. Yeah. Right?
No,
I agree. That's exactly what it is. And they don't want to quite lose him, but they don't quite need him right now. So, you know, it's a text every few weeks saying, what up?
Chris Coughlin is simmering on the side grill.
Basically.
On Fire Up the Grilly Day.
Yep.
I had one I want to ask you, actually.
Oh, yay.
Big deal or nah, Joe Biagini as a starting pitcher for the Blue Jays. I'm looking at his splits for the month of June. 6.0 ERA. 0-3 record, and a strikeout per nine of 6.6.
Yeah, so ERA of 6 in the month of June, and I believe that's basically just been three starts.
He's 0-3.
Three starts?
Yeah.
So I don't think long-term, even this season, Joe Biagini stays as a starter with the Toronto Blue Jays. I think as soon as Aaron Sanchez comes back, they put him in the bullpen where he probably belongs. Long-term, I think they know that they have a starter in Joe Biagini. He's not going to be your top of the rotation guy, but he can be a 3-4 piece for this team long term.
I will say that this year, despite being 1-6 with a 4.26 ERA and a 2.93 FIP, his expected FIP has actually been higher than that at 3.71. Even on Friday, this past Friday, where he put up an ERA of 54 and a FIP of 6.14, his expected FIP was actually 13.25. So he could have done worse.
Yeah.
Game before that, his FIP was 2.57, and his expected FIP was 4.85. Game before that, his FIP was 1.85, and his expected FIP was 3.37. So I think he's just been exceeding, despite being bad, despite having not positive results, he's still been exceeding what his expected FIP is. So maybe it's a big deal. Maybe this is what he actually is.
Yeah.
Maybe we're seeing the true Joe Biagini.
Okay, final one. Final one, guys. Okay. Big deal or nah, Bo Bichette hitting 400 with the Lansing Lugnuts.
So you know what team needs a second baseman right now?
I'm drawing a blank on a team, major league team, that needs a second baseman. Let me just think about it. Nope, I'm not coming up with any.
The Toronto Blue Jays. So here's my hot take. Call him up.
Well,
I mean,
okay,
he's in the Midwestern League. I mean, he's got to play a couple innings at least.
I don't care. Fifth place in the East right now? I don't care.
He's in low A. There's a few.
That's what I said. Here's my hot take. Call him up.
Long term, it's great. Currently, nah, not a big deal.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great to look at. It's not a big deal because, yeah, it's Midwestern League. He's crushing it. That's great, but he's got like at least two more levels of baseball play before he hits the majors.
I've never even heard of that league.
Oh, it's the low A.
I've heard of the Lansing Lugnuts. I just didn't know that was the name of the league. Mm. I'm not very smart.
I probably didn't have to tell the listeners that. Yeah. Okay, so that's all I have for big deal or nah. Look out for this segment again, I don't know, whenever we decide to do it, if it is at all successful or enjoyable.
Or if there's news.
Yeah, I guess there's always news. Okay, we're going to take a break and be back on the Bunch of the Gap podcast.
Back to the Bunch of Gap podcast. Dave, Adam, have you heard the news about MLB's Players Weekend they plan to hold in August?
I have not.
I have heard the news, however, you know, maybe the listeners have not, so please explain it to us.
So it's going to be a weekend, August 25th to 27th, in which Major League Baseball is going to relax its uniform and equipment policies and allow players to use bats, sock colors, whichever they choose. I don't know if you remember Bryce Harper was not allowed to use a design bat he had with the DC skyline engraved in it. It was pretty cool looking. But one of the new things, I guess, well, not new, but most interesting things about the weekend they're going to allow is players to put nicknames on the back of their jerseys. So instead of Batista, you might see Joey Bats on the back of number 19.
Hmm. That's pretty cool, actually.
Cool and interesting, because it would be cool to then be able to buy one of those jerseys,
yeah,
too.
Merchandise it.
Yeah, yeah. If you just got a number 6 jersey that just said Stro, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So I guess I want to ask you guys, what kind of nicknames do you expect to see from the Toronto Blue Jays on that weekend?
Okay, that's a great question. So I've pulled up the active roster for the Toronto Blue Jays, and here's a few that I think we could see. Number 24, Danny Barnes, probably wear the nickname Redbeard.
That's pretty good.
Number 37, Jason Grilli, on the back of his jersey, remember me, question mark.
Oh, God.
Number 33, Jay Happ, would have the name Happ on the back of his jersey.
I'll be honest, there's not a lot of great nicknames on our team. I don't think
Happ's the type of guy to get like a nickname anyways. Like, I think he's like, my name is Jay Happ. Why would I put something else on the back of my jersey?
It's pronounced Jay.
Yeah.
You think Joe Smith would put Aaron Loop on the back of his just to mess with people?
That's something Biagini might do.
That'd be great. That'd be great if Biagini wore someone else's name. I don't know if that's even allowed. If he wears, like, yeah, Clemens or something like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, the rule. Do you think Josh Donaldson puts MVP on his?
Can you fit Bringer Rain on the back of a jersey?
I'm sure you can. You can fit Encarnacion on, so you might.
You can fit Albuquerque.
All the letters of Bringer Rain.
Saltalamacchia.
Still doesn't equal Scrabble score of Saltalamacchia.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Bringer of Rain, if you don't use spaces, is shorter than Saltalamacchia. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
What do you think Steve Pierce puts on his? It
beats me. Did we?
Ow. OW exclamation mark.
Oh, man.
So around the league, there are a couple nicknames that people like. Bartolo Colon's Big Sexy always comes to mind. But I'm reading a Sports Illustrated article right now, and one of the topics they bring up is there's not a lot of great nicknames in baseball, is there?
Not anymore.
However,
not since Bill Hands.
For those that want to find some great nicknames in baseball, in episode 6, we went through the active roster and tried to give every player a nickname that we could. So go back and listen to episode 6, the Sweet Nicknames and the Chronicles of Baseball episode. And there were some good ones that we came up with. Maybe some of those will end up on the back of the jerseys.
Well, we know the Blue Jays definitely listen.
I hope Strosho goes on the back of Stroman's.
I can see that. Did you know James Paxton of the Mariners nickname is Big Maple? Because he's a
I did know that.
I didn't know that.
He's Canadian.
Yep. And he is tall because he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Just writes itself at that point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what we see.
I think for number 14, we'll see All-Star on the back of his.
I believe he will get Suck It Bunt to the Gap on the back of his jersey for that weekend.
B to the G.
Even if you just said Suck It. Like,
that'd be great.
just stopped it there like for all the haters. That'd be great. Okay. Nick, trivia. Us.
All right. Please. Oh, okay. That's fine. I just closed the tab, but it's not the tab I need. It's fine.
No. Right. There's an option in Chrome. You can open recent closed tabs.
Yeah, Control Shift T. Yes. If you didn't know that, now you got a little life hack for you. All right. Which player struck out 189 times in 1970, the highest single season mark to occur in the 20th century? Was it Rusty Staub, Sandy Alomar, Bobby Bonds, or Carl Yastrzemski?
Yastrzemski.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
It's definitely Bobby Bonds.
Yeah, I'm going to
say that is not definitely. I just don't know. That's my guess. It's definitely my guess.
Yeah, you know what? I also have no thoughts on this. I'm going to say Sandy Alomar.
It was Bobby Bonds. I chose this trivia as a little Happy Father's Day note. Bobby Bonds, of course, the father of Barry Bonds.
Yeah, but Sandy Alomar is also the father of Roberto Alomar.
So yeah, I chose a couple.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Not his older brother?
Sandy Alomar Sr. and Jr.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that's where you were going, is because Barry Bonds is like the greatest hitter of all time, that this guy is like the worst in that year.
Not terrible, but does, 189 strikeouts is only good for 22nd all-time in a single season, but it is really the highest to occur pre-year 2004.
189?
Yes. The all-time record is held by Mark Reynolds. In 2009, he struck out 223 times.
Wow.
There's a lot of good, nice little tidbits on here. Youngest on the top 10 is Chris Bryant. 2015, at the age of 23, struck out 199 times. Good for 10th all-time.
Wow. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Well, Yeah. That's all I can say. Is that? Wow.
Happy Father's Day to you, Bobby Bonds, and all the other baseball dads out there.
Yep. Fire up the grillie.
I do want one of those aprons. I'm not going to lie. I think they're really cool.
So the Blue Jays play the White Sox today at 1:07 p.m., and then there's games against the Rangers this week and a weekend series against the Royals. The Blue Jays are on the road for all of those games. Hopefully they can pull themselves out of a bit of this tiny nosedive that they're in currently. Okay, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Bunt of the Gap, facebook.com/Bunt of the Gap. google.com/plusbunttothegap. Please email any questions that you would like for us to answer on air to podcast@bunttothegap.com. Visit bunttothegap.com for all articles and analysis, and share the podcast with others who might enjoy it. Please don't forget to go to bikingforbaseball.org and make any donations and contributions you'd like to the charity in support of Tim Lala, who will no longer be biking for baseball this year.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you next week. Go Blue Jays.